Welcome to episode 69 of the Speak On It podcast, featuring your boy T-Lip, hosted by your boy T-Lip, man. What's going on with it, man? What's happening? All that good stuff, man. Hey, man. They been on me on Twitter, man. They been on my head, man. All you goddamn Michigan Wolverines, they been on my head. You know I be talking shit on Twitter, man. You know that's what I do. But I be talking shit, so you know I can receive it too, man. You know I can receive it, you know. This is a down day for your boy, man. This is a down day for your boy. I don't like it. 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 Obviously, you know the topic we're about to talk about today, man. NCAA College Football National Championship went on last night. Washington Huskies versus the Michigan Wolverines. And man, oh man, it was an ugly game. It was an ugly game, but like I said last week, I would rather be a part of an ugly win than an ugly loss. With the national championship on the line, man, Michigan came out there and won the game. The number one defense went up against the number one offense. Michigan having the number one defense, Washington having the number one offense. And they won. Michigan won the game 14. They won the game 34-13. Michigan came out and jumped on them quick. Like, literally the first two drives. Let me see. The first drive of the game, they drove the ball down, scored. They drove the ball, scored. Ran the ball, scored. Edwards broke a run. Number seven, Donovan Edwards, he broke a run. What was it? I think it was like 41 yards. Did that. Next thing you know, at the end of the first quarter, they do the same thing. Drive the ball again. It was an 89, 80-yard drive. It was an 80-plus yard drive. And then they came, did the same thing. Last drive of the first quarter was sealed off again with a 46-yard run by Donovan Edwards. He balled out, man. Donovan Edwards had, he had six carries for 104 yards, two touchdowns. He had a 41-yard rushing touchdown. He had a 46-yard rushing touchdown. So basically the 80% of his yards came on two carries. But he only had six carries, six touches. Did his thing. Let me run down these stats, man. Let me run down the stats first. Washington had 301 yards, total yards. Michigan had 443 yards. Basically even on the time possession, 30 minutes, 29 minutes. Washington had 17 first downs. Michigan had 16. Washington was 2 for 14 on third down, while Michigan was 1 for 10 on third down. So the third downs was really bad. It was really the first and second downs where the team, where Michigan was dominating them. Third down, they couldn't get a third down to save their life. Neither one of the teams. Red zone, Michigan was 4 for 4, and Washington was 2 for 2, but Washington also had one field goal and one touchdown out of that, while Michigan had two touchdowns and I think two field goals. Turnovers, Washington turned the ball over twice in the second half. First half, for the first play of the second half, interception, and at the end of the game, towards the end of the game, he just blindly threw it up to 11. Hey, he down there somewhere, threw it, and number zero for Michigan caught the pick and damn near ran it all the way back, all the way to the opposite, you know, to the four-yard line, did his thing. Washington had 46 rushing yards. Michigan had 303 rushing yards. Michigan really had, they had 174 rushing yards in the first quarter. If you watch this first quarter, Michigan came out dominating in the first quarter. They were running the ball. And when I say dominating, I mean they were able to run the ball. Corum had a long run. Like I said, Donovan Edwards had two touchdown runs in the first quarter, 46-yarder and a 41-yarder. Like, and it was like, man, Washington, I'm going to get into it in a second, but Washington, they couldn't tackle for shit. They couldn't tackle. Their gap discipline was terrible. all three levels, they was bad. It kind of got better a little bit in the second half, but I would say that's more because Michigan started to try to throw the ball, which I don't know why they even tried to start throwing the ball when they literally rushed for 173 yards on the ground in the first quarter. I don't know. That's not a good decision to me. But both had five penalties. Both had one sack. And then those were the game stats. Those were the game stats. McCarthy, J.J. McCarthy, he is 10 for 18, 140 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions, one sack. Blake Corum, if I'm not mistaken, I think Corum was the MVP, offensive MVP of the game. He had 21 carries, 134 yards, two touchdowns, 59-yard run was his longest run. So that was a decent day for him. That was a regular game day. It wasn't like big time. Oh my God, he had a hell of a performance. It wasn't none of that. They just won the game. Donovan Edwards, six carries for 100 yards. That's what's up with him. But let's just start to break down this game. Obviously, in the first quarter, like I said, Michigan came out running the ball. They came out running the ball. In the first quarter, it really looked like Washington didn't get off the bus. It looked like they was not ready to tackle. They was not ready for the physicality that Michigan was going to impose on them as far as running the ball. Like I said, Michigan is a running team. This is a run the ball, play defensive team. This is what it is. They're going to throw a little play action here and there, but they don't have a quarterback that's just going to drop back and just pick the defense apart and throw the ball all over the yard like other quarterbacks. That's not McCarthy. He's a play action, need a run game type of quarterback. But they had the running game going. Offensive line was nasty. Blake Corum was running the ball. Donovan Edwards set the tempo early. He set the domination early. Like I said, he broke two runs in the first quarter. 46-yard touchdown run, 41-yard touchdown run. They was like wide open where he didn't even get touched. On neither one of them, he literally just like one little sidestep, and now I'm gone. It's like the Washington defense, they didn't know how to defend a running team. They're going to have a hard time in the Big Ten. If you don't know how to defend the run, you're going to have a tough time. You're going to – because you got to understand, the Big Ten is not going to change the way they play the game. We're not going to – the Midwest football is not going to change. Like, all of those teams that's coming into the Big Ten, the Oregon, the Washington, the USC and the UCLA, they're going to have to adjust their games to the Big Ten because the Big Ten is going to run the ball. Iowa's going to run the ball. Penn State is going to run the ball. Wisconsin is going to run the ball. Michigan is going to run the ball. Even Ohio State is going to run the ball. And it's going to get cold. And some of them receivers that's out there in L.A. and out there on the West Coast where it don't snow, they're going to have to travel to the East Coast and to the Midwest and play a game in Maryland, you know, in November. They're going to have to play a game in Michigan in November, even if that's against Michigan State or Michigan. So they're going to have to do the adjusting. Last night was not a good example of them adjusting. Like, their defense looked clueless. They looked like they had no gap discipline, no game plan to defend this run. Now, it got better a little bit in the second half, but it was damn near too late already. 173 rushing yards in the first quarter? That's beyond me. They had 209. They did a better job in the second quarter of slowing them down. Michigan only had 35 rushing yards in the second quarter, but that's because they started to try to pass the ball. They started to pass the ball, or at least attempt to, when they was getting three and outs and, you know, getting stopped on fourth down. Like, they had like two fourth down stops where they tried to throw the ball and they just couldn't complete the pass. They should have just handed the ball off and do what they did best. But they won the game, so it doesn't matter. It just looked like Washington wasn't ready, man. I was really disappointed from what I seen with Penix. I was disappointed. I was disappointed with what I seen from their wide receivers, too. Like, yeah, the wide receivers was okay. They had O'Doul's had number one. He had five catches for 87 yards. But one of them catches at the end of the game, he had for 44 yards. That was literally at the end of the game. Like, it was literally three and a half quarters where Washington didn't make no big plays. Washington is a big play offense. It looked like Penix was kind of timid a little bit. Like, he just wasn't letting it fly. He wasn't letting the ball fly. Like, he was missing throws, missing wide open throws. Obviously, we seen him miss the whole shot in cover two where he missed number one on the right sideline. He just threw it way too wide when he should have just threw it right to him. The safety wasn't even that close. He could have just got the ball right to him. He was overthrowing guys. He was rushing the ball. He was checking the ball down too much. And Michigan's defense really set back. They didn't blitz him like they blitzed Alabama. They blitzed Alabama. They blitzed Alabama. But like I said last week when I was on the podcast, I said they're going to play Penix a little different. Like, they wasn't just going to blitz him and leave, you know, their corners and their secondary out there on the island like that. They did. They did their fair share of empty blitzes. They definitely did that, but they didn't start off like that. They started off to confuse him with their looks on defense as far as their zone blitzes when they was more in zone. They was really just rushing four rushers the entire game. Like, the Michigan D linemen, they was getting home. They was causing havoc in the backfield. Obviously, the Washington Huskies offensive line had one of the offensive linemen of the college football. That shit was terrible because they was getting beat from play one. Play one, Michigan was in the backfield. And I said they was only rushing four. But, like, the wide receivers didn't break open the game. It's like, I don't know if it was the quarterback. I don't know if it was the rush getting to him. I don't know if it was the coverage on the back end because they run some complex coverages. And like I said, Michigan's defense is pretty good. Like, they real connected over there. They all seem like they be locked into the game plan. And like I said, that goes into coaching. That's what's up. I don't know if it was, you know, signal stealing. I don't know. You know, they've been accused of stealing signals. I don't know. I would be connected too. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying that's – it ain't speculation no more. You know, you guys have been suspended because of that. Guys have been fired because of that. So – we have to add that into this whole thing. But Washington wide receivers wasn't getting off. And I didn't like that. And I don't really think it was fully because of Michigan's defense. You can say that because they was rattling number nine. But I've watched Washington offense. They can really throw the ball and they can get open. But they wasn't making big plays. I don't know if it was a lack of opportunities. I think Washington got in the red zone a couple times, and they were just doing weird shit in the red zone. Like, they was running quarterback runs and stuff and just trying to get tricky, running reverses and all this tricky shit. When it's like, bro, just spread them out and run the pass concept and let Penix throw the ball. They didn't do that. They was trying to trick Michigan and do little stuff like that, but Michigan was disciplined. They were disciplined with – and then they was just physical, bro. Like, they was just physical. On the quarterback run, no, it was a run that Johnson that got the ball going to the right. And it looked like he had a chance to split and score. But I don't know if he's a corner or a safety for Michigan. He came up and sealed the edge versus a big-ass offensive tackle and made the tackle as well. That's a big play because if he don't make that tackle, that's a touchdown. Like, that was a big play right there. It just showed, like, that one little play just showed – that's what the game looked like. An offensive tackle pulling around to block a safety or a corner, and you don't make that block. And the guy that you don't block, because he could have blocked him. 77 could have blocked 7 easily. He kind of blocked him, but he didn't finish him. And it gave 7 a chance to bow up, use his shoulder, and come around and tackle number 7. And that was... that's what's up to me. Like, I like that type of physical play. And it just looked like Washington wasn't ready for that physical play. They wasn't ready for that physical ball. They wasn't ready for that type of pressure. Obviously, the Pac, whatever it is, the Pac-10, obviously that conference is more finesse and it's not really a defensive conference. So we knew Washington defense wasn't going to be ready for Michigan offense and the physicality and, you know, just that whole phase of the game, like play in and play out, they wasn't going to be ready for that. But we thought Washington offense could compete against Washington defense. I mean, against Michigan's defense. with the wide receivers they got going to NFL. Number one is damn near probably a top 15 pick off the draft board. Michael Penix is potentially a first-round pick. You know, a top 10 pick, potentially. So you got a first-round quarterback, a first-round wide receiver, and some other decent wide receivers that's really good as well. I don't know how high they go in the draft. I don't know if they're young. I know it's Polk and McMillan. But these are wide receivers that go over to, over 1,000 yards. And that's known for making plays. And they just didn't get off enough to me. They didn't get open. They were dropping some passes too. They just wasn't making the big plays. They wasn't making the 50-50 balls. It just wasn't happening. And then sometimes when they were open, Penix was missing them. If it was because of pressure, it was because he was just overthrowing it or undershooting it. Like, they looked rattled a lot yesterday. And that's kudos and shout out to Michigan for rattling them, man. I got my podcaster hat on. I know I went to Michigan State and I'm a Spartan all through and through. But like I said, I'm not mad that they won a national championship. That's what's up. I'm going to always talk my shit, period. I'm going to always talk junk. That's what I do. But shout out to them getting that. But Washington looked timid, bruh. They looked scared a little bit. And another thing I don't like, because the game was ugly from the, like, I had tweeted last night. This was like towards the end of the third quarter. I'm like, bro, this game is ugly. At the end of the third quarter, the score was 20-13. So this was another one of those low scoring, ugly games. There was no big plays being made besides Michigan in the first quarter making them two big runs. Because Michigan scored 14 points in the first quarter, and they only scored 3 in the second quarter and 3 in the third quarter. So besides those two big plays of touchdowns that they had in the first half, the first quarter, the game was slow. There was no big plays all the way for the rest of the game. I'm not going to say the pick that Zero had was a big play because it was on fourth down. He kind of just threw it up. The game was kind of already over. It was 27-13 already. It was under 4 minutes. I'm not going to say the pass, the Penix to Odus, the 44-yard catch and run that he had, that was a big play because the game was kind of over. The game was over. There were no big plays. There were no fireworks. I didn't see greatness from any player on the field last night. You know, we have watched championships. We watched Alabama and Clemson. There were game changers on the field. You feel me? We watched that. And we watched it last year. It wasn't that good between Georgia and TCU. That wasn't that good at all. But at least we watched, Georgia really having guys that make plays. You know, you had the tight end. You had Stetson Bennett. Guys that can really make plays. And that made plays in the national championship. This game, it just wasn't a lot of playmaking in this game. It was kind of like I had told somebody, I think I was talking to him in a group chat. I said, if Michigan is able to come out and make Washington play Michigan football, Washington going to lose. I didn't think Washington was going to score 13 points. I thought they was going to be able to score points in this game. Maybe the lights was too bright, man. Maybe the lights was too bright. I think they was too bright. Like I said, I think Washington is going to have a problem in the Big Ten. They're going to have a problem in the Big Ten. Because in the Big Ten, you get the best of both worlds. You a Big Ten guy, you know it. You get the best of both worlds. You get all of the physical running teams, pound and pound and pound. But then you get some teams in there, you know, they sprinkle a Northwestern in there that run the spread all the time. They sprinkle an Indiana in there that really run the spread as well. You know, they sprinkle Ohio State that obviously they call themselves wide receiver U, so they're going to throw the ball up and down the field as well. But they're going to sprinkle their running in there too. So the Big Ten have seen a spread offense. You know, maybe not to the likes of Washington, but Washington got some guys that was pretty damn good. We don't know if Washington going to have them guys like that next year. We don't know if that spread offense going to look like it looked this past year. So who knows? It might be a they might be Northwestern, just a just a decent enough team to, you know, run the spread and be okay. But at least Northwestern has been in the Big Ten for so long that they know how to play against other teams. They know how to still be physical because that's a part of the Big Ten's DNA, is being physical. But these West Coast teams that's coming, that's don't gonna have to travel to Midwest in October, because it's cold in October. It's 40 degrees in October. You think they're going to be ready to play a rainy game in East Lansing? You think they're going to want to travel all the way to Wisconsin in late October when it's snowing on the ground? How you going to run that spread offense then? How your defense going to look versus a Penn State then? I'm telling you right now. And I ain't even bring up Minnesota. I didn't even bring up Minnesota, bro. I played in one of the coldest games of my life playing against Minnesota Gophers in college. This was my sophomore year. I think this was my sophomore year. Man, it was so cold that Minnesota equipment people had to give us Under Armours, like a specific Under Armour that was like thick as ever because it was so cold. They had to give us their own Under Armours, bro, because it was so cold. Like, if you go back and look, like I said, I think it was 2012. We played Minnesota. This is the game Le'Veon Bell damn near ran for over like 200 yards. We had on like some gray Under Armours, long sleeves. It was like gray. Those was the Minnesota Gophers. Those were their Under Armours. They had to give us the Under Armours. And we knew it was going to be cold. So we're going to see how UCLA travels to Minnesota in November. We're going to see. But man, oh man, bro. I didn't like what I seen from Washington, man. They couldn't get nothing going. The play calling was questionable. They just didn't let it fly. It's like they were just holding back. I don't know what it was. Like, they were scared to call plays the way they was called. It's like they got punched in the mouth. You know how everybody got a plan until they get punched in the mouth? It's like they got punched in the mouth and they never recovered from it. They never recovered from it. Even when the defense got a couple fourth down stops against Michigan, Washington was never able to capitalize from it because the team that scored the points offense, they couldn't do nothing. They couldn't do nothing. They had a quarterback that was overthrowing the ball, missing wide receivers, if that's on a high throw, a low throw, or just misreading the field, throwing the ball too early, throwing it too late. Like, and I was thinking this, if he can't do that, if he can't really break down a defense, a Michigan defense, how's he going to work in the NFL when he got Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons chasing him in the backfield, Nick Bosa, Khalil Mack, Hunter from Minnesota Vikings, Brian Burns? How are you going to adjust to that if you holding your rib against, you know, you holding your rib for the whole fourth quarter basically damn near because you got tackled a couple times by Michigan's defense? Like I said before, Michigan wasn't even blitzing. And Michigan defense was hitting Jalen Milroe last week. They were hitting him. They hit him damn near about 15, 20 times. Bro, they wasn't even hitting Michael Penix like that. Penix got sacked one time, and he didn't get hit a lot. He did not get hit a lot. He got sacked one time, and he did not have a lot of quarterback hits. And he was walking out of the stadium like shit. He didn't like he had. Come on, he walking out of the stadium like he was playing in 2000. How the quarterbacks got hit in 2000, and I was just like, man, that was kind of weak. I felt like he kind of he was probably trying to protect himself from the scouts or from anything. Like, I just didn't like what I was seeing from him at the end of the game. Like, he kind of looked checked out. He kind of looked like he was you know, trying to signal the coach that, hey, come get me, bro. I'm too hurt. I don't want to play no more. I need to get out of this game before they hit me again. And it was just like he kind of threw the towel. You know how in boxing they wave the towel? He waved the towel, but it was still like 6-7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And he waved the towel. I didn't like that. And obviously his offensive line was getting cooked, but he wasn't getting hit like that. He probably got hit 5 times. I'm not saying that 5 times he got hit didn't hurt. But I'm saying, like, if you can't deal with them little 5 hits, what you going to do when Chris Jones in your face? What you going to do with Aaron Donald in your face? What you going to do with Jeffrey Simmons in your face? What you going to do with Dexter Lawrence from the Giants in your face? Leonard Williams from the Jets in your face? What you going to do versus them? Because them boys huge, and they pros, they professionals. They all pro at their position. They in the big leagues. Can you still step up and in the pocket and make a throw versus them? Because that's what they're going to ask for you at the next level. That's what they're going to ask for you. And they're going to ask you to get up after you get hit and do it again. I don't know, man. I'm just saying, man. It kind of looked like a little throw in the towelist to me. But, man, like I said, man, it was a good win for Michigan, man. Shout out to them. Winning national championship. I don't even like that I just said that coming out of my mouth. But as a podcaster, no, it is what it is, man. They were 15-0. They became, I think, the fourth team to win 15 games and a national championship. Good job for them, man. As a player on that team, man, I know them boys happy, bro. They won. That's what you play for, man. You go to college football, that's the highest it can get, the national championship. You know, it's the highest, man, in the national championship. That's the highest of the highest. So I know them guys happy, man. 110 guys on the team, all the staff, all the, you know, the equipment people, all of them, man, the whole program. I know they excited. They happy, man. They ain't had a national championship in, I think they said, 26 years since, like, 98. And I think the one they won in 98, I heard a stat that they splitted that national championship with Nebraska. So they was 50% of a champion. They got half of the trophy in 98, but now they got the whole trophy. And this was the last year of the four-team playoff. So good job for them, man. They've been kind of knocking at the door the last couple years. This is their third time straight going to the playoff. They lost the first year in the first round, and then they lost last year again in the first round. No. Did they lose the first? I think Georgia was the championship game. I don't know. They had lost to Georgia and they lost to TCU in both of the college football playoff. But they got the experience. They knew what it took to get there. They know how it felt to be in them games in the moments. And that experience helped them win this game. So shout out to them for winning the game, man. That's big time right there. I'm sure they're going to put y'all, the plaque on the building or the stadium. And all the names going to be on there forever. The big house probably gonna be there forever. So you're gonna come back there, you know, 40 years from now with your grandkids and show them, hey, I was on this team right here that won a national championship in 2024, 2023. That's what's up, man. Like that's an accomplishment for the program right there. So, like I said, shout out to y'all. And now the recruiting starts. Now, you know, the recruiting starts again. College football season is over. The next game you will see will be in August. The 12-team college football playoffs will be now. It won't be 14s no more. I'm excited to see how they map that out. I think games will be played through December. I don't think those games will be home games, though. I think those would be like the – I don't know how they're going to do that shit, though. Because, like, how will you have the Cotton Bowl – in you know, December 17th, and then have, like, you know, the Fiesta Bowl the day before Christmas or after Christmas, the whatever Sunday, whatever Saturday that is, because they're gonna have to play, like, they're not gonna be playing through January while the NFL playoffs going on, so they gonna damn near be playing like an NFL season, huh? You gonna be playing from August all, you're going to play 12 games, and probably the 13th game is the championship game, Big Ten championship, SEC championship, Big 12 championship, whatever. That'll be 13 games for whoever make it. And then you're going to have to play the playoff with the 12 teams, and that's going to be weekly. So they're going to be playing through December now. So that's 14 games, 15 games, 16 games. So they're probably going to play them. College, them, they're going to be 17, 18-game season now, depending on if you, you know, make it to the national championship. And that's going to be different for sure. That's going to be a lot of money being made through college, a lot of advertising, a lot of marketing, a lot of film. You feel me? I'm excited to see what this visual look like. I'm sure they're going to give us more details, you know, the next month or two on how the college football playoff will shape out and how it will work and what it will look like. So I'm excited to see that, man. But that'll be it for college football. I might do a podcast with my homie. One more podcast just to break the game down again, because obviously he's a Michigan Wolverine, so I'm sure he want to give his little, you know, all of his noise that he want to talk about Michigan. I'm going to sit there and just listen. I ain't going to say nothing. But that's kind of it for me for college football, man. We're going to go into this NFL season. And after the Super Bowl, season 3 will end. After the Super Bowl, season 3 of the Speak On It podcast will be ending. Season 4 will most likely start in April, like a week or two before the NBA playoffs. But February 15th or 16th or 17th, whenever the Super Bowl is, that Monday or Tuesday will be the last day of season 3. So if you've been rocking with me all of season 3, man, I appreciate you. If you didn't rock with me season 3, I appreciate you too. Season 4 around the corner. Come on. Come on. Come on. We got people. Pull up. But shout out to the Michigan Wolverines for finally winning a championship game, a game of legacy, a game with high history, the biggest game in college football besides the Rose Bowl, which is called the granddaddy of them all for a reason. Shout out to y'all, man. Good win. I hope Harbaugh leave, though. But that's what's up, though, man. Good win. That do it. That will end episode 69 of the Speak On It podcast. Appreciate y'all. All love. Lip out.